working the house.
Well, now, I see that your ancestors came to Harford County in 1669.
That's about right. They came to this country. Now, what I might like to say about that, we know William did. He came, there's his name, he came here in 1669. Now we found, and it says he was married in 1675, but we have never found his wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
But he died May 22nd, 1720, and that record is in the records of the old St. George's Parish.
Mm-hmm.
His death's recorded there.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, we know that then we're all straight on the rest of it, because he married, well, to say, we don't know who he married. He had one son, Job. That's all we've ever found.
Mm-hmm.
Job was born in 1676, died in 1703. And he married a woman from Herring Creek in Anne Arundel County. And she, with old William, came up to Haverty Grass and settled on a part of a tract called Ripple. Her father had bought her father was Thomas Ford, a planter in Anne Arundel County, and he evidently left her part of that tract, and she came up here, and old William came with her.
Hmm.
Because we know they were up here in 1703. But we feel sure they were there before. It says here that Job died in 1703. But apparently that's old William's son. But anyhow, when they came up here, old William came with them.
Hmm.
There's no reference to his wife at all. He must have been a widower at that time. But this Elizabeth Ford, Job married Elizabeth Ford. She was the only daughter of Thomas Ford. And she had three boys, Ford, Job, and James. And then, see, Thomas Ford, he came over in 1652. And we don't know where Elizabeth was buried. Of course, you know, Elizabeth married again two or three times. And we have no idea where they're buried. But Ford married Margaret Palmer of Gregory and Sarah Hughes. See, now there's that Hughes way back there.
Mm-hmm.
And their son, I'm getting down to, what's the name now? Ford Barnes and Margaret Palmer. And their son, Gregory Palmer Barnes, is buried at the old cemetery. And his wife was Elizabeth Mitchell. The Mitchells are here with them. They also own property up along the river. The Govers, and they call it Govers Hill. You never heard that, ever hear that expression? Well, Govers Hill. They owned up in there, and the Barneses apparently owned, as near as I can figure, Ontario Street is almost one line that goes out Chapel Road.
Mm-hmm.
And owned a piece in there, and then the Govers came in, and then the Hugheses were the own up above up the river.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good record from Gregory right on down to say he and his wife are both buried at our old cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Its official name of it is Bayview Cemetery. And Gregory Palmer's children, he had a whole slew of them. And Richard Sr. married Sarah Gilbert and then married Mary Bettis, but Sarah Gilbert, is my great-great-grandmother, as well as Richard married Mary Bettis, didn't have any children. And we come right on, that's the first Richard we call him. And then Richard Jr., and then of course they begin to branch out when you get that many children.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, Rachel and Avarilla, that's an old name among these boys, married sisters, married brothers, Josiah and Aquila Bailey, back then. And these other, Gregory and so on, these people, some of them, Elizabeth married a man named Curry, and Ann married a man named Curry. We know, we have records because we have correspondence. They went out along the Allegheny River in the Pittsburgh area and settled there. And then Richard Sr., this is his will, where he left his property. He's part of my land, and I live known under the name of Middlemore's Angus. Well, to digress a minute, which maybe I shouldn't be doing if I'm talking into that thing, Middlemore's Angles was a tract that was given by one of the, whoever the Lord Palmer was, it was living at that time, to this Dr. Josiah Smith, which where he came before Middlemore's Angles. And he, excuse me, he apparently owned property several places in Maryland. In southern Maryland, I think, also, as well as this tract in Harvard County. And when he died, he had no children, and this Henrietta, Hershey, was his niece. She and her husband sold that to Gregory Palmer. That's how he, and then see, he left it to his son Richard, and he had a property, Richard, called Beatles Reserve. He had three places: Beatles Reserve, Scotchman's Generosity, and St. Martin's Ludgate, the plantation they called where all I now live with all the other improvements and so on. I give to my son Richard Barnes one bay horse called Liberty, one black horse called Peter. See, they went into a lot of detail in those days.
Mm-hmm.
One yoke of oxen, two milk cows, first choice of four sheep, one sow, one feather bedstead and furniture, one sideboard. That's the way they parceled it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. And whether I'm telling you what you want to hear or not, I don't know. But you stop me if I'm getting out of line.
Well, now, who were your parents?
My parents? Well, we'll come on down then, and we'll get to Richard Jr. Richard Sr. married Sarah Gilbert. Now, Richard Jr., he married Susanna Osborne. That's their silhouettes, the one on the right and the one on the left, those two. They were my great-grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
My father remembers her. He died in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on to G9, Richard Amos. That's him in the picture back on the wall there. Mm-hmm. And that's also a silhouette of him as a boy up on the mantel there, on the left side of the clock. And he married Mary Frances Noble. You've heard of Noble's Mill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was her brother, was Uncle Ben. Uncle Smith.
Hmm.
And I don't remember Uncle Ben, but then it's 20. Richard Amos and Mary F. Noble. They had three sons. Wilmer Lewis, Charles F., Charles Franklin, and Clifford Colfax. Now, Wilmer was my father, and he married Ellen R. Chesney. You heard the name Chesney here in the county?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was born and raised at Boothby Hill, which is in the proving ground today. You Boothby Hill Road, you. Well, she was born and raised. I can show you some pictures of her. Now, she has passed away too, and both of them are gone. And her father was James R. and Sarah R. Thompson. He is listed in Mr. Wright's book as one of the county commissioners. In fact, he died before he was able to start his second term. He was elected for a second term and died. I guess pneumonia, some people died like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us down to me. And then, of course, I married here we are. And I married Hilda Louise Duggar, D-U-G-G-E-R. She was the daughter of George Martin and Minnie Hicks Duggar from Pennsylvania. And I had a son, Richard Noble, who was born in 1948. My wife passed away April 10th, 1977. And bring this up to date. Now, my son married Elizabeth Gray Worthington, May of 1978. Yes, they were married 3 years. And they have no children. So that takes it right down to scratch.
Mm-hmm. Well, now tell me about your parents.
My father?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was the oldest of the three sons, Wilmer Barnes, born in Glenville area. And later on, then grandfather moved up to Cresswell, and then over on the manor. Father went through the local schools here in the county, and he was pretty well grown when he got to Baldwin County, but he went to Inverness, graduated from Inverness Business College. And he came to Bel Air, then to paint books for David Hanway. He had a hardware store on the corner of Churchville Road and Main Street in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, my grandfather Chesney had died, and I never did know really why my grandmother sold out down there and moved to Bel Air. And she happened to own the store property there. Now, that's before my time, of course. But anyway, that's how I met my mother. They were married in Bel Air in 1894. And I had a brother lost baby. But then father, the store, they sold out the store. Borman and Bradford, my recollection is about 1908 or 9. I was very big. And father went in the post office and he stayed there for a long time. He was assistant postmaster. I think he went in as assistant postmaster. I'm pretty sure he did. In those days, that was a lot. But you don't have to repeat this for politics. But anyway, he finally became postmaster. Oh, just about the time of the First World War. Was there until he retired in 1932. I guess around that time, yeah. Just before Franklin Roosevelt. Sometime around like that. And then he retired. He lived until he was, well, he was in his 87th year. They'd retired here in Boston. They built a home after they were married on Churchill Road. It wasn't much down there then. And I was born and raised there. Right in Bel Air and went to school. I did all my schooling in Bel Air up to the, oh gee whiz. I left there. I went started the Baltimore Polytechnic Institute in 1980. Graduated in June of 22. And then I went over to Hopkins for just 1 year there, and then went to work for the state group. I worked for them for the exception of a couple of years. And I left and got into some other work that I didn't particularly care about. I tried something else, you know. Moved back to the States, and then I retired in December 1970. Yeah. I stayed with them. And I was in the construction. I was a pusher assigned to a district. I was in Western Maryland. I was, they called them road inspectors when you first started those. And I worked at that over in, well, I got to be a project engineer. They had a different classification, but that's what I wanted to do. 29, I came back. Transferred back home here in this district. And, stayed in this district till I retired. And I was afterwards, area engineer, as they called it then. I looked after construction work in the county, in other words. Now we've made assistant district engineer or construction engineer for the district. And then after the district engineer retired, I was, right in here, I was asked district engineer. That's about it.
Yeah. What was Bel Air like while you were growing up?
Don't ask me. Bel Air was a very fine place to grow up in. It had a population of, I'd say, about 1,200. The limits of Bel Air were, let's see, how it would start out on Emerton Road, where that friendly ice cream place is. You know where that is? That was the town limits on there. At Churchville Road, the town limits were just a few hundred feet below where the park is today. Right up against what was Shamrock Farm that belonged to the Orchard. On out here, town limits on Route 1 was Delhaven, or Mooresville Road, you might as well say. Mooresville Road, I believe, was a divide line. I think half it was in the county and half in town. Mm-hmm. I guess it still is state truth out there. Mm-hmm. Out Rock Spring Avenue, as we call it, used to call it that, I guess it still do, the town limits were just about where, well, southern states, the mill areas, Bel Air Farm Supply, it was out of the town. The railroad track came through there. Have you ever heard about the Maryland Pennsylvania Railroad?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that book on it?
Mm-hmm.
That was quite an institution. And that's where the town limits was, just beyond the Episcopal Church there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say right about where Allendale Street comes in there, and women yelled. And it was just a fine place to grow up in. I went to school. All the time I went to Bel Air School, I went to the old office building that is now the Board of Education offices.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started there, there were 8 rooms. That's all, an old brick building.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added, while I was going there, they added 2 brick rooms on the back end. And, well, as I said, you could see what I was talking. I mean, that was the size of the town, that's all it was. And just a fine place for a youngster to grow in. And we had a very nice, people, it was, Broadway was the prettiest street in the town. And all very nice residences and all. Well, of course there weren't anything like, there were liver stables. My original recollection is where they're building that state office building. That was the Eagle Hotel. And it afterwards became the Country Club Inn. It was operated as that until it was bought and made into a garage there on that side. And where Cortland Hardware is, that was the Granger's Hotel. If you'll notice when you go by there sometime, there's 2 floors there. And that upper floor all glassed in, that was a porch. Went all the way across that building, and there was a porch right below on the first floor. Went all the way across that building at that time. And the sheriff's home was where the county office building is. And the old jail is still behind that building, fastened to it. That was the county jail. And you have to excuse me a minute.
Sure. Hardware was strange.
Cortland Hardware. The other old, well, it was that old building in Fern. It was called Vaughn's Hotel at one time. You've heard of it. That burned, you know, several years ago. That was there. It was not a hotel in my recollection. But in the end of it, toward the commercial bank, that was Mr. Harvey Ewing had a sold tobacco and odds and ends and newsstand there.
Mm-hmm.
The building that which you don't remember where the bank is, with law offices. And that I've been told, I don't remember, but belonged to the Scots, you know. Bel Air was what was the Quilla Scots old field.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some of that family. Mm-hmm. There was Daniel Scott and a Quilla Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before my time, but in my recollection, I don't remember who was upstairs, but Mr. Thomas H. Robinson had law office in there.
Mm-hmm.
He was after his attorney general during the Mitch administration.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's Johnny O'Neill's grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. O'Neill was a Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And on down the street, there was between that and Boyd and Fulford's, that was our Boyd and Fulford drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
It's down jewelry store. A man named Chaparro ran a jewelry store. And that was not Boyd and Fulford. Take that back. It was a drugstore. Dr. Clumper. That store. Boyd and Fulford's was where Dave Cohen's purchase is. then there was a store right immediately next to that called Cook and Jeffrey. It was, Dried Goods and Notions, I guess you'd call it. Next to that, there was a residence. That's when Captain Bolton, he was the postmaster. Oh, the post office was in that group, between where Ford and Fulford is now, and Purchase, in there, one, in a building that's going now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the post office. And then on the corner, Pennsylvania Avenue, was E.H. Hall's hardware store. And then the Richland Drug Store was there. And, next to that was Thune's Bakery. T-H-U-N-E. They had a bakery there, right in there, and there was one or two other things. I think it was a shoemaker in there. I believe it was a tail shop, shoemaker, I think. And then, below that was a, drilling camp. Important. And below that was another drawing house with the Whittakers. Where the armory is, that was a cow pasture. Whittakers had a couple cows. Okay. And on the corner of Lee Street, where that brick building is now, that was Eigelhart's butcher shop.
Hmm.
Well, if you like that, is that what you'd like to hear about that stuff? Is that?
Well, now, as a child, were you in downtown Bel Air a lot, or?
Yeah, we lived on the corner of, we lived just below the corner where this hardware store is.
Hmm.
But you wouldn't get up the next time. Yeah, I guess I was. But we walked everywhere. I walked to the school every day and came home at lunch. You had an hour of lunch.
Oh. Yeah.
Huh. That's an oldie.
Oh, sure is.
Now, that was apparently the store before the one I remember on the corner. This was Churchville Road, and this was Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1880s, so I'm told, which I don't remember. But that building's gone when I remember.
Mm-hmm.
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 And it has up here, I think it's Hanway and Brother.
Uh-huh.
See on there.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Well, that's before, back way before my time.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't have anything to do with that, but see, that's my father's brother, Uncle Charlie.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah, let's see. That looks like a.
That's a soft iteration. Iteration. Yeah. Oh, sure. Right. That's a way to erase.
Huh.
They had some blood. Only made this one. It was one of the horses he runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking on one of the trotting tracks. And that's the way they used to race around. That's the way they raced at the fairgrounds.
Is that right?
Why, sure. Huh. I watched them many times down there. See, they ran heats.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Best. 2 out of 3. They ran 3 heats around that old track, half mile track, or maybe they make 2. I don't know what number where they ran a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of his. Well, he had a couple other horses. He had Dallas Boy and one other one.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, was the fairground always a big part of life in Bel Air?
Yes. That was a great thing. That was the biggest thing happening here once a year. It was a Harford Fair for a week. My wife, fortunately, never threw anything away. And, I think we'll find something in here he might be interested in. Buddy, I know you don't like to move too much. That hurts a stranger.
What about, now you said the Monpaul Railroad, was that something that a lot of people were riding?
That's the only way you went to Baltimore. It went the other way. Mm. It ran from Baltimore to York. And it came through Bel Air. And my recollection, when I was growing up, say a teenager here, about four trains. In other words, there was out here where this concrete plant is back over in here, back southern states, there was a Y that could turn around, turn the locomotives around.
Mm-hmm.
There was a train left here in the morning about 7 o'clock. It picked up people all the way down through. See, this railroad went through Towson. Went down through Baldwin, Long Green, Towson. Right on down to Old Oak Street Station, Baltimore City, you know where that was? Well, it was, Oak Street, Howard Street, used to be called Oak Street. It's Howard and North Avenue, it would be, approximately where that station was. Went in right alongside of Falls Road.
Hmm.
If you ever go down Jones Falls, go down Old Falls Road, into Baltimore, if you're familiar with that. And, that picked up people going to work, even then. Pick them up, along particularly Towson, and down where they pick up, they had a little station, Notre Dame, and several other stations between Towson and downtown in those days.
Mm.
And they'd pick up people who had going into business every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then, old man Dan Gold was lived over here on Gordon Street, right across the old school. He was quite a guy, he'd been crippled up, he walked crippled. But he would turn around and come back up here about the middle of the day. And he'd turn around and go back what he called a 1 o'clock train. And he'd take people if you just want to go to Baltimore for a half a day, a shop or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he laid over and came back on the owl, they called it. That was left Baltimore about 11:30, 12. People would go down and go to theater, and then they'd come back to the station and come back as far as Bel Air. Then he'd turn around to Bel Air. But in the meantime, you had the milk train came down. They called it to pick up milk.
Mm-hmm.
And that got here about 9 o'clock in the morning. When there were no high schools in around here except Bel Air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd pick up kids from Forest Hill, Sharon up there. Bring them Bel Air to high school, got any. Then that train, that was old, called the Black Whisker, Captain Mark Myers, they called him. And he was conductor. And then, he went down, and he came back, I think about, he started out from Delta. He didn't come from New York. He started at Delta, you know where Delta. And the Baltimore back every day. He came back long back, maybe 6 o'clock in the evening, and came back. But then there was the two York trains. There was one train left Baltimore in the morning and went to York. And it turned around in York and came back to Baltimore that night, made a round trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, there was one went each way, round trip. One left York in the morning to Baltimore and back. In other words, train to York, old man Dilworth, was captain, they called him captain, you know, conductor. He got up here in what we call he got up here about 9 o'clock. He brought the kids from St. Falston and Watervale on up to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went on to York, and he came back in the afternoon and got back here about 5 o'clock and went on the ball. Then the train that came down from York in the morning, got to Ballarat, that was they called, was called the 10:53. It left here just before 11 o'clock. Anybody wanted to go a little later in the ball, you see. And then that came back up about 4 o'clock. Then the other train that had gone to start from York down there, that would come back. And wait a minute, those people used to go. That train they went down, that was Mr. Dilworth's train coming down in the evening. He got here about 5 o'clock. He picked up the kids and took them home. And that's when people would go down to go to the theater.
Hmm.
And they'd get dinner and go to the theater and come back on the hour. Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. That railroad, you know, it would be, particularly from here to Balmer today, would be a wonderful thing for commuters.
Mm-hmm. Sure
was. Yeah.
What was the ride like?
Oh, it was standard gauge. It had been narrow gauge up until around 1900, I think. But my recollection, it was always standard gauge.
Hmm.
And it wasn't too good a ride. And I can remember when they even had oil lights in the coaches.
Hmm.
If you were in the wintertime when you'd come up and eat,
mm-hmm.
and brakemen come through and light the lights. Didn't have electricity. And I don't think it had much in the way of heat either. I don't remember about that, really. Mm-hmm. They may have had some steam, you know, that's what they used to have in their steam rail.
Mm-hmm.
But I've ridden that thing many times. I'd say it's the only way we went to Ball. From here, unless you drove a horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, the buses started, the man started the bus line about 1915. From here to Overly, that was the end of the streetcar line.
Oh.
And that's the way I went to the Polytechnic for 4 years.
Hmm. And how did you decide to go to Poly?
Well, you better turn that thing off. No, I'll tell you, it's kind of funny. I wasn't doing too well in high school. And, I guess I found out about girls for one thing, you know. And anyhow, Father was pretty disgusted with me, not making very good marks. So I guess I was out of the ninth grade or something. And it was his idea. I sort of had a mechanical bent anyhow, you know, and like that sort of thing. And really what I started out to be was a mechanical engineer. That's what I had in my mind, and even then I liked to fool with these old automobile T cars and stuff were around in those days, you know, 1918. So he just took it upon himself and took me to Balmer one day and right down to the Polytechnic. In fact, this time in the year, and signed me up down there. And that's how I went to Polytechnic. And I stayed there for 4 years until I graduated. And that's the best thing ever happened to me. See, it was all boys' school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your tough going in those days. There was only that 1A course, they call it now. And that puts you in the sophomore year in any engineering school in the country without examination. I went right over to Hopkins the next fall and made various like that. And it was a wonderful school, and that's where I got my education. I don't mind saying that for a minute. It's what I did, and but it turned out that I didn't. I got into the civil engineering end of it, which was all right. I'd taken surveying anyhow, and I took surveying when I went to Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
I had had drafting and a couple of years of that and so on, so it worked out very well. And but I rode back and forth. That was a long day. You left here in the morning about 7 to 7:30, I guess. And you rode that bus down to Overly, and those old buses they used to have when first started, they had solid tires on the back of it. They didn't have pneumatic tires on the front. And you got off and you got on that old 15 car. That was the number of line. Rode to North and Gay, and you transferred there to the North Avenue 13 car. And you rode over there to North Avenue Calvert Street, where Polytechnic was in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And that trip reversed itself in the afternoon. And it was about 5:30 when I got home. I think we left Overly at 4:30. The bus left Overly at 4:30. That was a long day.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have really any time to participate in much at school because I was busy going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the story on that.
Mm.
But I never regretted it. The only thing I regretted was that I had the opportunity to stay at Hopkins, but I wasn't a good student, and I didn't particularly like to go to school. So I just didn't go back after the first trip over.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out all right today. It wouldn't have been any good today, but
mm-hmm.
It worked out very well. I did very well. I have a decent retirement, and I put in 44 and a half years in the state grocery business.
Mm. Was it difficult to find jobs at this time when you were ready to go?
Not really, no. There weren't near as many people to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take an examination. I had to go to Ballmer and take an examination, send in an application. And the examination was what little, well, as I say, they call them road inspectors in those days.
Mm-hmm.
The job you started out with, and it was all right. I got the exam all right, and I got a notice to come to go to work that summer in 1923.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me to Frederick when I went to Ballmer City. Headquarters is still in Ballmer City.
Mm-hmm.
Call it the Highway Administration today, but it was the old State Road Commission.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a very big outfit in those days.
What were the roads like when you first got involved in this?
Dirt. What we did the first few years I worked was pave, surface, dirt roads throughout. Well, where I worked in Howard, Montgomery, Frederick, Carroll counties up there.
Hmm.
And I think all but maybe one job in Montgomery was all paving roads, the original paving of roads.
Hmm.
Even the road, I know I was on two sections from right above Kansasburg over to Frederick County line on the original road from Washington to Frederick. And that was dirt road in those days.
Hmm.
That, for example, and Lord, here in the county. When I got back here, when I came back here, I was a project engineer. And the first job I was given was the project engineer on the road from Level to Darlington to Harmony Church, and that was a dirt road.
Hmm.
1929. And there were a lot of dirt roads in this county at that time. You take, for instance, the state had about that time, it was really, about 29, they had a bond issue for secondary roads. I think this was for not just this district, but statewide. And there was 136, you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
From Bush clear through to Whiteford.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was dirt road. Mm-hmm. That was paved under. A lot of that was paved under. 543 was paved. That's a Hickory 80 road.
Mm-hmm.
And from Hickory up, now that road from Hickory to Fountain Green wasn't done until a good bit later. That was dirt. That was the last, I think, the last piece of dirt road in Harford County that we surfaced. But Fountain Green to Cresswell. Emerton Road. Emerton Road. Frogtown, we called it. Frogtown Road. You know where I'm talking about?
Up at Belfast?
No, up at Rock Spring.
Oh.
Bel Air Forest Hill.
Hmm.
That was dirt road. Sure. And we redone that road, you know, we rewidened that maybe 15, 18, I don't remember now, 20 years ago.
Hmm.
But that was dirt road at that time. In fact, I have a list of the, that I copied one time. You know, they had toll roads in all of the, over the state in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a, you got a, I don't get the right words maybe, but you went before the legislature to get authorization to build a toll road in those days. In fact, early 1800s I'm talking about. And they set up a number of toll roads. Now, of course, now, the Balmer Pike, well, that was kind of a two different deals on the toll on that road, a different toll deals. One came out of Balmer to Kingsville, and another one from Kingsville up to the Harford Road. Now, the Harford Road was one of the original toll roads from the city line into Bel Air. That was toll, that was a toll gates on that road. Very faintly remember when there was a toll gate at Toll Gate Road down here on the Balmer Pike. Just barely remember. Because that's a funny thing. I don't know whether you were here then, but you know there was an old stone house sat on that corner. Remember it blew up that time those colored fellas were having that trial about that fellow, whatever he was, Brown, whatever his name was. Well, that was a toll house. And there was an old white-haired man collected the tolls named Barthel. Well, I remember it. I can't remember where it was last week. But those toll roads were very interesting, and I have a list of them. And a good many of them, I have a statewide list, but in this area, in Harford County, what reminded me of Crowtown, there was an application made and a, what did they call it then? It wasn't a permit, it was a, I don't think of it, maybe I've got some of that stuff here, but anyway. They had permission, they got permission from the legislature to build a toll road from Bel Air to Crowtown. I remember that. It was never built. There were a lot of them never built.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a toll road from down in the Towson area, to Jacksonville, but it was never built.
Mm-hmm.
There were a good many that weren't built here in Harford. Well, I was really familiar with Baldwin and Harford County because this was in the district. See, we have two counties in this fourth district. And, That was a right interesting thing, and a lot of those roads have, some of them, those locations are gone. But they had a lot of toll roads. They had, I can't think of the word I wanted to say, permission to build them. Balmer Pike was a toll road. Route 7. That was a toll road.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was the old road that pulled out. It was called the Old Post Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an old road that went from Baltimore to Philadelphia many, many years ago, revolutionary times. It was not much more than Topaz, but that road has been relocated three or four times, maybe some of it, before Pulaski Highway was built.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, when the last section between Baltimore and Havre de Grace was not paved at all until about 1927. Now that seems unusual to you.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I know that. And then that was what they were building then was a fifth road 15 feet wide with 4.5 foot shoulders, 4 foot shoulders, 15 and 9, yeah. 4.5 foot shoulders on either side, 24 foot roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either McAdam in those days or concrete. This bituminous concrete that's used now wasn't even heard of then, but it came into being, around 1929, I think. I was on a job, inspector in Montgomery County, on one job where they did that. That was called car rock. You know, down in Kentucky somewhere, I think it is, they have this oil sand that has been oil deposits. The sand is impregnated with oil in the natural state.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy got the idea of using that stuff, putting it down for a road. And we surfaced an old piece of that Washington Road. I was inspector on it, Montgomery County, Bo Gaithersburg. And did an experimental piece, that's what it was. We used two different kinds of bituminous. We did a mile of that car rock. We did a mile of what today is specification being bituminous concrete. They called then, that was the old Amosite. There was an old Dr. Amos, who was a chemist or something like that. He developed this thing of mixing stone with bituminous material and using it for surfacing, a couple inches thick. As you see him do this, we call it blacktop's a common word.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where that some of the early work in that. Hmm. Well, now, what else? You want some more about Bel Air? I can tell you a little more about Bel Air. Bel Air, you seen those old maps of the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really, that's way before when I remember. But I do remember you take on, for instance, Courthouse is where it was. We'll start there. Going down the other way below, the old Granger's Hotel was on the other side of the sheriff's house there, where Portland Hardware. Then the next place was a little butcher shop. I don't know what they're selling there now. Then where there's two or three things, a pipe shop and so on, it was another, what we call a Rouse's store. And those stores, there were two of them in Bel Air. I used to see them in the country news. Part of that store sold groceries and that sort of thing, and the other half sold dry goods, clothes, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Rouse's store.
Mm-hmm.
Then next to where that barbershop is was that's an old building there. Not the brick building. It was there too. That old brick building been there for years and years and years. And as far as I believe it was a store, when I don't remember when it was a store, but anyhow, where that barbershop is, seems to me it was a man had a place there. In those days, that was horse and buggy times, where he made and repaired buggy tops. Trimmer, that was the name they called it. Trade as a trimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then below that was a house that should never have been torn down. It was the Bradford property where that parking lot is. And that was where Mrs. Samuel Bradford lived. And he was a son of Augustus W. Bradford, who was the governor of Maryland during the Civil War.
Mm.
And I remember both of them because our backyard around on Churchville Road backed up to their back to their lot off Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them very well. And Miss Elizabeth and Sam Smith, children, and Miss Duty, everybody called her Miss Bradford and Bel-Air. And then was the house where at the store. There was a house connected with the store. That's when he got this on the picture. That's not it. that picture. Wouldn't take anything. That's another. Now that's David Hanway that owned the hardware store. My father first went with his horse, David H. Now I just about remember David H. Well, I've heard him talk about him. He apparently was quite a good trotting horse in his day. Here it is. Here it is. And I'll bet Mrs. Whoever it was did that book doesn't have a picture of this. I think this is the only picture in existence. That's as I remember the store. This was the house right up here. Here's the store. This is Churchville Road, and this is Main Street. And that's still a dirt street there, or had stone on it. That was a side door there where you had a, there was a store wagon, they called it. And it had a stable in the back, went down and turned in there. And this is Adams Express Company. That was the Express Company wagon. Went around Bel Air in those days. And that's what they were sold in. I remember that store very well. My dad was in there in my earliest recollections, and I really remember that. And we just lived the second house down Churchville Road in the store. Well, I'll bet you that girl didn't find a picture like that to put in that book. It should have been in there, in my opinion. You need any better light there?
No, I'm fine. I was looking at the details. You can see the all the
stuff
different
in the window. In the windows there. Those old fireplace heaters, stoves. In the windows there, for one thing. And the horse blankets hanging on the outside at the front door there. Boy, I'm just raising that place. Yeah.
Do they do a pretty good business?
Oh, yeah. Did a good business.
Well, now, was Bel Air the center for people coming into town from those areas?
Oh, sure. And it was county seat then, and people would come into the jury on that and on business, and they had lawyers' offices around the courthouse, pretty much like they are today. That wasn't anything. There were a great many lawyers here in those days. Now, as I started to say, you go below the store. Most of that were a few houses on down to some vacant spots there, but on down to where that friendly place is, and that was the town limits. But the Fulfords had a nice home there where Loyola Federal, that was the people had a drugstore, where the Loyola's building was. On the other side of the street, coming back up, there was a farm. That was Kenmore Farm. And it was farm up to the Hayes House. You know where the Hayes at? You know, it's that house that the Historical Society had now back on. Well, the Hayes House, and I wish I had a picture of that here, but I don't have it. The Hayes House was about the first house out of town on that side. And then next to that was Harry Hanway's, H.D. Hanway's home, and he owned a Kenmore farm. He had a stable back there, but he soon, when I was a little fella, he turned that into Kenmore Inn. And you see, this was the main road to Philadelphia. The only paved road was come up the Bel Air Road or Balmer Pike, go up to Main Street, down to Churchville Road to Aberdeen, over to the post road at Aberdeen, it's called Route 7, and out Route 7 to Haverty Grace, and across the old bridge there.
And so that's why they had the places like the Kenmore Inn.
That's right. He did quite a business there for years. As I told you a while ago, Route 7 was not completely paved until I knew about 1927. And that was the way you went to I. There's some old pictures here. Somewhere. That young lady seemed very interested. I thought maybe she'd come along with you. There are a lot of pictures. This is the Brown Road Report, 1927 to 1930.
Mm-hmm.
I held on to that because...
Were people real happy with their paved roads, or did some of them want to keep their dirt roads?
No, I think everybody, because in those days, of course, the right-of-way department wasn't very large, not too much, but what they were doing when I went with the state in 23, they'd go out along these old dirt roads and take what they called a dollar option. You see, in those days, technically, your property went to the center of the road. You paid taxes from the center of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd take a dollar option, they called it. Get an option to build a road on that part of that you owned there. It still belonged to you. You still paid taxes on it. But they took a dollar option. And they didn't get in. And they gradually, unless they absolutely refused to let you go by there, then they still had the right of condemnation even in those days. And then, of course, when that was over, the state owned that ground like they do today. They bought right. But they soon got into buying right-of-ways, let's see, in the early 30s. I know when I came back here, I had what we call Deer Creek Relocation on Route 1. You familiar with Route 1?
Mm-hmm.
Going up here to Conowingo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know where that always in thing, where that old, well, we relocated that in 33.
Mm-hmm.
And now they, I think, bought right most of that right away. That was the early part of buying right away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll show you a couple of roads around here somewhere now. And,
show me this, and I interrupted you, and I wondered, this looks like a school, or...
No.
No?
That is taken up in the old Masonic Hall Temple. You know what was that? You year before I was torn down?
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever upstairs there, mm-hmm. those steps? Well, this was taken in that room.
Is that right?
That's where it was taken.
Wow.
Here's the chairs. This is the audience. It was sort of a religious thing, but it was a singing deal. They called it Smith's Robarts Choir. And they had evidently, I don't remember too much about it, they evidently had this singing thing, and whatever money they got went to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's a whole row of ministers.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They're all ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd accept that man, Robarts. He was the director. Mm-hmm. And these were all local people that volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 1905. I think. I'm pretty sure it was. Father had it written on here somewhere one time. I guess I covered it up, but I'm sure it was 19, because I tried to remember some of the names of the people
mm-hmm.
on there. And these people, there used to be four McComas brothers. You know, there was McComas brothers on the Arctic Railroad. Mm-hmm. That would be all fine place. A lot of it. It actually was a part of the old, originally part of the old Hanway store. And then the two McComas's came to Bel Air, they bought the lumberyard part. And then Borman and Bradford bought the downtown store. Now, all four of the McComas brothers, there was a quartet. They sung everywhere.
Hmm.
Mr. Charlie, Mr. Stanley, Mr. Emery, and Warren. Now, there were a lot of, did you ever hear of General Milton A. Record? There's some General Milton.
Yeah, the R-E-C-K-O-R-D?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a Richard E. General.
Hmm.
See, he was local. He owned the flour mill down here where Bel Air Farm Supply.
Hmm.
That was Record's mill.
Hmm.
And the railroad came right alongside of it. There's a side.
Mm-hmm.
Said it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, I happen happened to be in there, but they missed me almost, so you know it's a long time ago, but my mother and her sister and my father in there. What my father doing in there, he couldn't carry two in the bucket, but I don't think they ever had anything back in those days unless he was a traitor. He could beat anything I ever saw. He was always, yeah, there's my mother. That's my mother.
Uh-huh.
That's her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my dad. He wasn't very tall. That's his head on the top of him.
Uh-huh.
But there's the McComases. That's one. Now, Mr. Charlie, you might know young Charlie. He's still living here.
Hmm.
Mr. Alec. Stanley. That's Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, Stanley, Walter. Mm-hmm. He was a state's attorney, lawyer. He died a long time ago. And Mr. Emery.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of old-time Bel Air people on that picture, I'll tell you. And that took in a lot of cross-section of Mr. Frank McLean that used to sell Hall McLean sold Pontiacs here for a long time.
Oh.
And his son.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first Model T. He was at a blacksmith shop on Cortland Street.
Mm-hmm.
Where that parking lot is, there down toward Hickory Avenue, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Blacks, when I was a kid, we lived right over one block on Churchville Road, and his son, Hall, and I were same age, exactly. I think we're 2 weeks apart.
Hmm.
And, of course, I was in down there, and he was at the blacksmith shop. And afterwards, he started selling Model Ts, along about 1910.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And he was one of the earliest, I think there was one dealer, maybe it was a little earlier than that, it seems to me. I believe it was Johnny Schaefer's, his grandfather, me and John Weicker. He had a garage, it's still there, on the corner, built a garage there, right off of the relocated Bond Street extension there, across Ballmer Pike.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was selling old Page cars. Might have been a little ahead of Mr. McLean, but I know about 1910 he was selling Model Ts. I remember that much about it. And yeah, these were all one minister to one kind and another except this one. Some of them retired. This man was retired, and I think that man was. And that old gentleman, old Mr. Brain, he was down at St. Mary's Episcopal Church for years and years and years. And I'm in there. That's me behind the palm tree.
Well, now it looked like you were one. Now, there's a young lady sitting by you.
That her mother was there. They didn't have babysitters in those days. She and I had to go with our parents.
Oh.
Her mother and father both are in there somewhere. And I think that's her mother. Don't remember too much, see. I think that's her mother. And I think her mother was a record. I just can't. West, I think, was her name, but that might be her. I just don't know, but I remember some of these others very well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's right. I don't want to lose that picture.
No.
And Ms. Barnes loaned that picture to a lady that's right on this picture, and it was in good shape. I preserved it. My mother had it, and when we got it back, it looked like that.
Mm.
I don't know. I was so disgusted. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that girl has one of these pictures and put it in the in that book of hers. You know that. What's her name?
LaRue.
LaRue, yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, what's this? This looks like a cavalry or something.
That's Main Street. That's a parade of a National Guard.
Hmm.
They came here and encamped once, maybe twice. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But that riding in the front is... Mr. Harry Hanway, who was the mayor of Bel Air for a long time, and Governor Warfield, with the whiskers.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, it looks like there's a, it looks like a slate sidewalk.
Yes, that was a lot of slate. See, they got slate. It was very cheap and reasonable to get, easy to get from the slate bars up in Delta.
Hmm.
In those days. You know where they are, I guess, or know about them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see a group of black children that are out to this side.
Well, see, all this part of Lee Street was colored.
Oh.
And Back Street was all colored. We called it Back Street, Bond Street.
Uh-huh.
That was all colored.
Oh, I see.
When I was there.
Hmm. Because because it looks like they're all dressed up in...
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a parade they had. There were the National Guard following them, you see.
Oh.
That was... That place was a long... Chinaman had a laundry there. I think there's a sign out there.
Mm-hmm.
You want a glass?
Ming Ling's.
Something like that. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I remember. I just remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it looked like there were a lot of trees and things even
sure
then.
There were. Sure there were. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The streets weren't bright. See, those streets are nothing but a little stone on them. They were mostly dark in those days.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it looks like that's looks something like what you'd put your horse up to.
Oh, hitching post? Sure. Had them all over town. Oh, sure thing. Hitching posts everywhere.
Hmm.
There weren't any automobiles to speak of. They called him Colonel Hanway. He had one of the first automobiles ever in this town.
Hmm.
And if my memory serves me, it was an old Cadillac. A little old Cadillac, about a two-cylinder or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had... I hate to say all these things because maybe my memory... gets a little dim, you know. He had a bus, and it was an old autocar truck that was a make. Still is a make autocar.
Hmm.
I think quite an autocar. But had it made of cross seats in it. And they would go out and meet the trains to bring people would come up here to stay at Kenmore Inn. They'd there in the summertime. That used to be a great thing. The people come out of the city. There were no air conditioning in those days.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come out, and there were regular around outside of, in the county here, there were people that regularly had visitors, I mean, the boarders, you might as well call them, that came up here every summer for a month or 3 weeks or maybe a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed here to stay out of the heat in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine. But we had cousins in Baltimore. My mother did. And my father's people, my mother's people, some of them lived there in Baltimore. All my recollection. And some of them were a right big family. They'd take turns coming up. Of course, my mother didn't charge them anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But there'd be a couple of them come stay for a couple of weeks. Some of them stayed with grandmother. She lived next door to us. Her mother lived next door to us. And they'd come up, take turns, come up for a couple of weeks during the summer. Oh, everybody had their relatives would come out and spend a little time with you in the summer in those days.
Hmm.
Gosh, yeah. Yes, sir. But anyhow, if you want to get back to Main Street, really, I think we got back up 10 more in. Well, there were houses. There was an old stone house there where, and another house where Equitable is. In fact, there were two houses. Up to the Equitable parking lot, up to where there's dentist's office. That house was there. And right next to the dentist's house, my grandfather and grandmother and step-grandmother lived there. And then those two houses that were laying out were there. Then there was an old stone house which never should have been pulled down. Instead of that old Bradford house, was an old brick house, and it had a porch across the front, and it had cedar posts in the roof. Where on that porch post were just cedar with a notch still he'd just been. But then there was another old stone house that belonged to Dr. Charlie Richardson. He was one of the Richardson family, the brother of the man owned the drugstore. Well, Woodard is across the street. I don't really know Woodard Richardson or not.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Woodard was raised down in that house.
Mm.
He lives right down here across the street. And I believe there was some kind of little old building where that Red Cross building was. I don't remember. Then where the bank was, that was where some of the Lees lived. That was an old name. And, then above the Lees was, Bateman's. Miss Julia and Miss Molly kept aborting two maid letters. I'm going back now. Then next to that, where that copying place, that building hadn't changed much. That had been originally part of the old carriage, Enterprise Carriage Factory, but by my time of coming along, wasn't long after I remember that that was turned into the first moving picture place they ever had in Bel Air. The Busy Moon Theater. I remember that part.
Did you ever go to a movie there?
Oh, yes. Going there for a dime on a Saturday, you know. Saturday afternoon, sure.
Now, was that before the talking pictures?
Oh, my soul, yes. Sure. And just subtitles, you know, every picture. Oh, and yeah. They didn't have talking pictures till 28 or 29.
Did they have any music or anything?
Yeah, somebody plays piano all the time. And then they get to, it could be a fight or something, they'd get through. They had a big, stout guy. He was as big as you are, but about a head taller. Great big guy. He sat up there and played that piano. Oh, yeah. Huh. And then there was a store next to that, a grocery store. And then on the corner was an old Postal Telegraph Company. There used to be two telegraph companies, Postal and Western Union. I know, and they would say down that street, then down Cortland, where most of the law offices, most of those buildings. They've been changed some, but some of those buildings are still there, like the Woodlawn Archer's office, and Gas Electric, and Holden Building. That's an old building that's been redone over, and on down the street there, and DeBond. And on the corner was the Aegis were in a brick building there. Down on the corner, I forget what that was. But going up Main Street past the courthouse, that store and my have been told was a drugstore on the corner. And next to that, I saw an old picture of that the other day. There was a jewelry store there where I think the bank has offices in there. And then that other building with offices in the bank was there. That was the Second National Bank. And that building adjacent to the bank, which is a part of the bank today, was offices. And where that county office building is, which the Harvard County, or the Harvard Mutual Fire Insurance Company, used that for their office until they built up there where they are now. But before that, that had been a brokerage house. Canned goods brokers were around here then. Maybe that was Smith, Rouse, and Webster. Brokerage house. And below that was W. Robinson Company brokerage house. They were canned goods brokers. You know, there was another thing, I digress so much, in this county that was almost a starting thing I've understood, was the canning industry. There was a lot of it in this county. Early, way early days. They canned corn, but mostly tomatoes. And they did this brokerage business. Of course, the old Masonic Temple was there. And the bank on the corner was the old Harford National Bank, which is a new bank of that name today. If you know where it is, that new bank, they called it the Harford National, but that was the old Harford. Shame that building had to be torn down. It was a fine building. And that was one of the few buildings built in Bel Air, I've been told, was planned by an architect. That was a fine old building. I remember it in my earliest recollection. And the other was the Second National. And the old Farmers and Merchants Bank was along there where Johnson has his office, finance place. That came along a little later, but then the savings bank, we called it then, commercial savings, they started up in there. I think it really started in a part of one of those offices in the Masonic building. But that old building on the corner where Cameron and have their offices, that was there. Little offices. As I said, across from that was the country club and stone stable. There was a stone stable in the back of the Rangers Hotel. That's what Courtney Harbor was called. Maybe I'm repeating something. But that's about all it was down to what's now Hickory Avenue. That was Dallin Place. That was a dirt street in those days. My recollection, early recollection. That street wasn't paved until I don't know when. But going up Main Street, there was where the Getz boys had their offices. Their grandfather came here. That had been a store. And I'm not too sure whose store it was. But way back, I remember their grandfather coming here and starting the store. S. Getz. Mr. Solomon Getz had a store there. And then below that, where that hub used to have an annex, it's, I don't know what it is now, selling stoves or something. That was Carver and Price. Now that was another one of those stores where you had groceries on one side and dry goods on the other. And they had it upstairs. They had a stair that went up there up out of the center of that building. And those stores below that, there was way back, it was where I think those people still sell hot dogs and beer or something like that. That was, we called it the candy kitchen. People had a candy kitchen. That's what they made their own candy and all right there in those days. They were some of the same family that were there, Greek. And then it was Bowers Bakery where that, what's that store? There's a little clothing store still there.
National Store.
National Store, right. That was Bowers Bakery. And then below that was a grocery store where that, what do they call it, Georgetown North. And then that other building had been another one of those kind of stores, but it had died out, apparently, my early recollection. But when I was, gosh, I got your pictures here somewhere of that. That's a picture inside the post office. The post office was moved over into that building.
So which building is that?
Now that's a building where there were two different kind of stores in it. What do you call them? Right next to Georgetown North.
Where Cutright used to be.
Yeah, right. Cutright had one half of it and something else, but that was the post office for a right good many years.
Is that where your father was postmaster during this time?
Yeah, part of the time. He wasn't postmaster. He was assistant postmaster, I think, when that was taken. Here's another picture of it in the back. And that had one of those stairways up the center, went upstairs. That's me and my father.
Is that right?
Yeah. Now, you can tell by that about how long ago that was. No, that was just before my father was made postmaster. I think that man died. And then there was somebody else was there for a short time, and then my father was postmaster. That must have been about 1912 to 14, I would guess. Is that another one of it? Yeah. By my size there. I think I had roller skates there with me. Seems to me. That was in the back part of it.
Oh, yeah, you're hiding the roller skates behind you.
Yeah. So you see, we roller skated on the old slate walks in Bowling. There was some brick, but mostly slate in those days.
Was there a lot for a child to do for recreation? Or? How did you entertain
yourself?
You
made your own recreation. There wasn't any such a thing as recreation set up like you do now, spend a lot of money on playgrounds and all that garbage when these people have plenty of money that I don't go on with that. Plenty of money that supply their own children entertainment, but I guess that's the way it is. But no, indeed, you had to make your own. We went swimming down at Bonham's Run. We had a swimming hole. We walked down to Churchville Road and back over in the field there, and it was an old swimming hole. The old sycamore tree stood there until they, well, I guess I got into that, but when we rebuilt Churchville Road, we had to realign that stream. It was a mess at Bonham's Run. It was flooding and everything there in the road. So we changed that in about 1950, 51. And I guess I'm the one to cut the old cherry tree down. But anyhow, I've been down there, I walked down there many a day. I rode a bicycle down and had to walk back up Archer's Hill. That's what we call that hill going in Bel Air, Archer's Hill. Because the Archers owned Shamrock, where the Shamrock development is, and lived there at that time.
Now, was that Colonel Archer?
No, that's another family of Archers. I think they're connected originally, because they came from down around Rock Run in that area. And I think they were connected, but they weren't close to connected. And incidentally, that house that was there, you may have seen some pictures of it from somewhere. I don't have one. That had been the county almshouse. Before my time, way before my time. The county almshouse was down there where they have that on Tollgate Road, Myra Creek. But that was what was there. And we always call that Archer's Hill.
Were there a lot of wealthy estates around the outskirts of Bel Air?
No, I wouldn't say so. There was the Dr. Kelly place. You've heard about that and what's going on. Fritz left to the county gets it. And you see, all of Howard Park was Dr. Kelly's property. It was named for him, Howard A. Kelly, you see. Dr. Kelly was one of the big four at Hopkins with, I can't remember the other names, but anyhow, there were four things. He was a very early man to experiment with radium. Had his own hospital up on Utah Street. And he had this summer, so that was their summer home. But then there was the Aquila Scott place. That's where the cemetery is. I'm pretty sure that you might check it. They own considerable ground. And Homestead, well, while we're on that deal, there was another Scott, Daniel Scott. You know where that property came out to the Forest Hill Road and Moore's Mill and went back in that big house where Hicks used to live. You know where Hicks is? Well, that was a Dan Scott place. I think I've got those two names correct. But it might have been reversed, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. That's what I've been told. I don't remember when the Scotts, but they were my earliest record people named Caldwell, and I think Mrs. Caldwell had been a Scott. Wouldn't put that down and screw about it. But that's my recollection, because I remember there were a couple of Caldwell boys in school when I was in school. And well, that ran you pretty near, that took you up to Pennsylvania Avenue, and there was a house on the corner where Charlie Lights is now, and another couple houses, and then the Methodist church, and the brick church. And then where what's the name of his law office. Now that was that's a very old home there. And there was a, next to that was a laundry. I'm pretty sure what you used to call a Bel Air steam laundry. Manning Johnson. And in a little stone house there that one time was the library. Way back when they first started having the library. It wasn't the first one, but the first one was upstairs over at the Richmond drugstore, I guess it was, right in there. But that library was there for a while, right across from the Army. See, the Armory wasn't built yet. There wasn't any Armory there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Armory, I might digress a minute. I don't know how you're going to sort this out. Maybe if you get hung up, call me.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about Borden Puffer's drugstore where Dave Cohen had his store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right adjacent to that, what was part of the Hub property. Now, there was a livery stable right there on Main Street. It was a two-story building. And it had been owned by several different people, I guess, before my time, a man named Appleton owned it. And upstairs over that was the Armory, National Guard Armory.
Mm-hmm.
Old Company D, Maryland 1st Regiment Infantry. And that joined what else I've told you. I've forgotten that. I forgot that the Armory was in there, and so was that Liberty State, right on Main Street. My early days, almost died. Operated that same house. And he had one of those trotting horses. Because I remember the horses he used to, always like horses. He had a dappled gray. And if I remember, he was a pacer and he was named Plowboy. Now, what do you remember that name?
It must have made a big impression on
you. It did. I was kids. The horses were a pretty big deal when I was 8-10 years old, yes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you know, weren't too many cars around.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much all. Well, Tenor Brown was down there at the corner, next to that picture you saw, the Chinese laundry.
Oh, yeah.
He had a tenor shop there between that and what's now Lee Street.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the gentleman? Right there.
Uh-huh.
Well, right in here, between this place and the corner of Lee Street, was Tenor Brown.
Oh.
Hmm. He was a character.
What was he like?
Well, I don't think he has any